Welcome to my 7th of 12 podcast of Christmas episode. Hi, I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. This is Tennessee Froward's Reading. This morning, I endeavor to roll out and bake my first round of gingerbread mint cookies. I think I have enough. I'm hopeful for at least an even dozen. I'm not sure, but we gonna see. There are several things that go into consideration when you bake cookies. For example, rolling. I don't have a rolling pin. Who has one of those at this time? And what's even scarier, I think I have two of them in my property in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Am I in Fayetteville, North Carolina? No, I am not. Anywho, I will also continue my reading of Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And if anyone is listening and wishes to buy me a edition of it, I would prefer a hardback illustrated version. And it just goes for $20,000. I'm just saying, if you hit the lottery and you want to hook a sister up, you can send that to my address in Tennessee. Thank you very much. Also, I will be discussing seasonal affective disorder and why I believe gingerbread cookies and the sugar content will make for or is a proper additional treatment for that particular disorder. This time of year, we have an uptick in mental health issues as well as suicides, and I think it would be great to not only do what makes you happy and brings you joy, but also to be able to eat those things that do that as well. And I thank you for taking the time to listen to my royal goofiness, which is myself, as I celebrate the season as I see fit. Also, let's not forget doing for others, even though they won't do for you. I'm going to be doing an additional episode or a part of the episode in which I speak about just really National Cool. And again, this still promises to be a joyful and happy segment, so stay tuned. Mad shout outs to the 2019 Heisman Trophy winner, Joe Burrow. You know, I wouldn't have necessarily given a second eye or batted an eye at this young man and his accomplishment, because if it wasn't a University of Florida quarterback, I wouldn't have necessarily cared so much. But this young man comes from a very poor part of Ohio. He was passed over. I guess he rode the bench at Ohio State, got picked up or walked on at LSU, wins the Heisman. What in the ham sandwich? Gets on the Heisman stage, and his speech I'm actually going to include in my podcast post. Not just the notes, because it doesn't consistently do that, but I'm actually going to include this in my WordPress blog, because he gives a shout out to his hometown of Athens and how the changes in the SNAP or food stamps, not only are so many kids going hungry now, so many more are going to be going hungry with those changes. Another harebrained attempt at the Trump administration to dismantle our social support. But he basically gave a shout out to his hometown and wanted to be an inspiration, because he said, where you guys are, now look at where I am, and you can stand here too. One of the citizens of his hometown started a GoFundMe page. Not only did it raise, with that just short statement, almost over a quarter of $1 million, it expanded to, I believe it's over $500,000 to $750,000 now. And it comes in a time when that program or the safety net for his already impoverished hometown is getting ready to take a secondary hit. Now they have their own safety net. It's Americans looking out for Americans, because it's obvious that our current government can't. This young man spurred and supports what it means to be in this time of year. You never forget where you come from. You always look ahead. He gets the National Cool and Excellence celebration in mind. Not because he won a sports commemoration. It's just because he is an all-around cool dude, even though he is quarterback for LSU. As I said, I'm University of Florida all day long, every day. But it's all SEC, right? Well, welcome back to the podcast. Well, I've had a very interesting day. I finished work relatively on time, and I baked my gingerbread cookies earlier today. If you will notice anything, you will notice that the gingerbread men are misshapen. However, they follow that old adage where it looks better, tastes better than it looks. That's pretty much right. My house smelled so wonderful with the scent of ginger, and the gingerbread actually cooks fast. You have to watch it. And warm gingerbread topped with perfectly fried bacon is, in fact, the bomb. That was actually my favorite cookie of today. I also mixed up very simple sugar cookie recipe. And I could truly say, even though this sugar cookies were, in fact, very simple to make, it gives the natural adage, you know, of simple ingredients, because this was made with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different ingredients: flour, baking soda, baking powder, softened butter, white sugar, an egg, and vanilla extract. And even though I decreased the amount, the cookies themselves, they were alright, and I liked, and they do cook just as fast as the gingerbread cookies. I found that because as I was shopping on Amazon for my gear for the Star Wars movie, they actually got a little overdone, and you'll see the pictures of those in the notes for the podcast. But I sincerely liked the darker, warm gingerbread cookies the best. And evidently, I have a whole bunch of experiments with alcohol, in particular vodka, and soaked with different types of fruit, as well as bacon, going on in my refrigerator. So basically, before you pour yourself a big tumbler of anything clear in my refrigerator, make sure it is not 40 proof. I'm just saying, found out the hard way. But what makes Christmas special for me actually just happens to be gingerbread, the making of gingerbread cookies, and an extra special edition is topping it with bacon. And that's just my bacon worth. Mentioned at the top of the episode, I wanted to discuss a little known but very frequently felt disorder. It's called seasonal affective disorder. In medicine, we know that this time of year, basically between, is all year long, but definitely between October and New Year's, we see an increase in uptick in suicidal ideation, suicide attempts, and especially this time of year, for whatever reason, especially in those regions that have less sunlight. So big ups to my friends in Oregon that have adjusted to all that rain. I just couldn't do it for 200 days of straight up rain per year. But this is a real thing, and the depression and anxiety that this type of year can evoke is truly real. Season affective disorder. Usually it's self-diagnosed. You have symptoms of fatigue, depression, helplessness, and withdrawal. You lose interest while mood swings and sadness. You can have appetite changes. Social isolation, weight gain, and lack of concentration. Or you could just be a foodie and you like to get your eat on. However, it is a real diagnosis and can be quite debilitating. Some of the therapies include phototherapy, talk therapy, and medications. Self-care includes physical exercise, but behavioral light and chronotherapy actually helps. SSRIs like Paxil can take the edge off. But as I was also saying, finding, and I know you don't really feel like cooking, but it seems like the medicinal combination of ginger and sugar not only can settle your stomach, but sugar also acts on the same receptors in the brain as morphine does, so you can get a little bit of happiness and euphoria without the positive drug test that you can actually get from morphine. Making sure that you expose yourself to as much sunlight as you possibly can, vitamin D supplementation may actually also be assistance, but also getting your exercise, eating some warm gingerbread cookies made with red ginger will actually probably be just as helpful. And when you can't help or you don't feel that there's any help out there, you can actually dial 1-800-662-HELP or 4357 and get help and information and treatment referrals if you have a significant behavioral health or drug abuse issue. And if it's just life is too much and you're considering ending it, I'm here to tell you there's something else. There's music, there's life that you would never ever thought was possible. And if you can't see the forest for the trees, you can actually call and get help at the 24-hour suicide helpline at, it's the 1-800-273-8255. Write that on your forehead, stick it on your wall, and make sure it's in your consciousness. It's the type of lifeline that if you can't lean into your weirdness and you don't see no way out, please pick up the phone and talk to someone and make sure that's on your speed dial is number one. If you don't have the wherewithal or the support that is right in your immediate environment, please just reach out to these people and get the help that you needed, because although this life can be pretty hard, it's still worth living. And that's just me thinking. I'm excited about what's coming up next. And I would like to end this episode with another reading from Dickens' Christmas Carol. "Let me hear another sound from you," said Scrooge. "You'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. You're quite a powerful speaker, sir," he added, turning to his nephew. "I wonder you don't go into Parliament." "Don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow." Scrooge said that he would see him. Yes, indeed, he did. He went the whole length of the expression and said that he would see him in that extremity first. But why? Cried Scrooge's nephew. Why? Why did you get married? Said Scrooge. Because I fell in love. Because you fell in love? Growled Scrooge, as if that were the only one thing in the world more ridiculous than Merry Christmas. Good afternoon. Nay, uncle, but you never came to see me before that happened. Why, give it as a reason for not coming now. Good afternoon, said Scrooge. I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why cannot we be friends? Good afternoon, meaning bye, bro, said Scrooge. I am sorry with all my heart to find you so resolute. We have never had a quarrel to which I have been a party, but I have made the trial in homage to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So a Merry Christmas, Uncle. Good afternoon, meaning bye, boy, said Scrooge. And a Happy New Year. Good afternoon. It's like he didn't even want to waste those platitudes on someone he thought that was beneath him. His nephew left the room without an angry word, notwithstanding. He stopped at the outer door to bestow the greetings of the season on the clerk, who, cold as he was warmer than Scrooge, for he returned them cordially. There's another fellow, muttered Scrooge, who overheard him. My clerk, with 15 shillings a week, and a wife and family, talking about a Merry Christmas. I'll retire to Bedlam. This lunatic, in letting Scrooge's nephew out, had let two other people in. They were portly gentlemen, pleasant to behold, and now stood with their hats off in Scrooge's office. You know, I don't recall this being a part of the Christmas Carol, but who knew? They had papers, they had books and papers in their hand and bowed to him. Scrooge and Marley's, I believe, said one of the gentlemen referring to his list. I have the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley. Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years, Scrooge replied. He died 7 years ago this very night. We have no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner, said the gentleman presenting his credentials. Certainly was, for they had been two kindred spirits. At the ominous word liberality, Scrooge frowned and shook his head and handed the credentials back. At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, said the gentleman taking up his pen, it is more usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute, who suffer greatly at the present time. Many thousands are in want of common necessaries. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comfort, sir. Are there no prisons? Dang, asked Scrooge. Plenty of prisons, said the gentleman, laying down the pen again. And the union workhouses, demanded Scrooge. Are they still in operation? They are still. Did he sound like Trump? But at least Scrooge is a redeemable, just saying. I wish I could say they are not. The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor then, said Scrooge. Both very busy, sir. Oh, I was afraid, from what you said at first, that something had occurred to stop them in their usual course. I'm very glad to hear it. Under the impression that they are scarcely furnished Christian cheer of mind or body to the multitude, returned the gentleman. A few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We chose this time because it is a time, of all others, when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. What shall I put you down for? This sounds like New York Times neatliest things. Nothing, Scrooge replied. You wish to be anonymous? I wish to be left alone. Since you ask me what I wish, gentlemen, that is my answer. I don't want merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the establishments I have mentioned that cost enough. And those who are badly off must go there. Many can't go there. Many would rather die. If they would rather die, they better do it and decrease the surplus population. Besides, excuse me, I don't know that. But you might know it, observed the gentleman. It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with others, people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Scrooge was gangster. He's like, y'all ain't gonna talk me to death, and y'all ain't gonna get my money. And I'll take up on page, what page is this? I have no idea. I'll actually take up on where I just left off for now on tomorrow. This is an amazing read, and I hope you enjoyed it. And this ends this episode of Tennessee Froward's Reading. Join me next time as I continue my read of A Christmas Carol and all things Scrooge. I don't know what I'm going to be cooking tomorrow, but it is Thursday, and it'll be my, what is it, 7th of 8th? Podcast, or 8th of 12 podcast. So I'm excited about whatever comes and whatever jumps into my head. And don't forget to navigate to www.dalesangelsinc.com for all special orders, offers, and updates on nerd news. And I had to bend down to plug in my laptop before it shuts off, because I'm only at 9% at this time. Drop me a line at TennesseeFroward's Reading@gmail.com, or leave a non-trolly 2-minute voicemail at 423-463-0658. If your message is not too trolly or just negative, I may actually read it or play it during the podcast. If you like what you're hearing and tired of freeloading, you can become a patron through Podbean. That's patreon.podbean.com/thetalkingfro, or you can leave me a tip at paypal.me/FeliciaDAI. And I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed creating it. And until next time, thank you for listening.